Good evening and welcome to Open Air. And good evening, Jen. Let's try that again.
There I am.
Welcome.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Jen. How are you?
I'm great. And how are you?
Good, good. It's the old jumping queue phenomenon. You think you're clicking on person
I am
A
very
and
familiar.
Person B gets unmuted.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And
yes.
Then you unmute some other unintended person. But I will tell you, Michael, that I am sitting at the beautiful 4 Acres Zen Center in Sunny Slim, Washington, and it is
wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
That absolutely beautiful. I'm sitting on the deck
wow. Of
one of the little sort of, you know, accommodation places, the sheds that we put on the property that are so simple and beautiful. There are these little bamboo shades with the light coming in, and I'm sitting with the shade of the orchard trees, and there's birds everywhere, and the wildflowers are amazing, and it's almost too much to take in. And now we're on open air. I mean, wow.
Wonderful. And the Summer
yeah.
of Sangha. It's here.
The Summer of Sangha is here, and we did working meditation today and planted 2 beautiful willow trees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing, so.
Yes. I can picture it, and soon I'm going to be able to see it and picture it for real.
In person. Yay.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous. And I have an announcement here to start us.
Okay, great.
Our Reflective Listening Buddies program offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program starts July 15th, and the deadline to register is this Saturday, July 1st. And for this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight, Jen. If folks would like to get in the queue to talk with you, Jen, they can press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. All right, Jen, let's get started here.
Okay, great.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Chris in Three Rivers.
Well, hey, Chris.
Hey, Jen. Hey, Michael. Oh, finally back on a call.
Excellent. Lovely to hear your voice.
Same, same. I've been having such a hard time for the past few years, and especially last year, and I just couldn't stop drinking alcohol, and then of course I couldn't practice because it wasn't available, you know, like I was just having the hardest time. And
you're surviving.
Just barely. And I almost died a couple of times. I mean, very close. But this last time, this last week, I really, really thought that was it. It was it. And when I made it through the night, I just realized I needed help, you know. And Sherry had said on a call a long time, not too long ago, that, you know, why don't you go to AA or something, you know, like, and I couldn't believe she said that because I thought, like, it went against, I don't know, I just couldn't believe it. And anyway, I started going, and I'm just feeling so much better, you know, and just so hopeful and help, and just like, anyway, thank God I'm alive,
yeah.
And I'm so happy
yeah. You
guys are, you know, having fun and swim, and I know I want to get up there someday.
Good for you, Chris. I mean, you know, there's just already so much in what you're saying. First of all, I project that piece of like, so Sherry says, you know, how about AA? And it never occurs to us. There are all these invisible assumptions that are being made that ego is cutting off the supports that could be there, right? Well, of course, I mean, AA, that's not practice, right? So ego's right. defining for us what practice is. And yet, I mean, especially, okay, granted, I haven't practiced in many traditions because I was drawn to this one and it stuck immediately. But as far as I can tell, in this tradition, what's encouraged is support, compassion, unconditional love, be here. And, I mean, there are so many things in a tradition. I mean, again, I don't know a lot about AA, but so many things that I hear that come from a tradition like that that are all coming from that same direction. Be here. Get support. And so yeah. you reach out for that support, which, Chris, by the way, that in itself, that right there, it is practice. You know, when you said a minute ago, you know, I couldn't stop drinking and, of course, I couldn't practice. And it's like, yes, on one level, of course, right? I mean, if you're drinking, it's very hard to be here, all of those things. And on some level, we can guess that you never stopped practicing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this call. You wouldn't have gotten to AA.
Maybe so, yeah.
You know, there's that larger context of we have no idea what the bigger picture is here. What we need
True.
To go through on our way.
Right, because it's always, I mean, I love this practice. This is my practice. This is my, you guys are my sangha, you know. I don't want,
yeah.
I'm like you, I just am totally in love with it. But I kept getting sidetracked, you know, like in a really serious ways, you know, like dangerous severe ways, and if that's what it takes, and if that's what it took, then that's what it took. So, yeah,
okay.
I'm just
that's
so
right.
grateful to be here.
And you know what? The timing is exquisite, Chris, because you've come back around, and we have landed in a place. I mean, for the first time in years, we're actually being together as Sangha. So when you
mm-hmm.
said a minute ago, I want to come to SQUIM, come to SQUIM. Truly, come. Be with us.
I know.
Be with Sangha.
Absolutely. As soon as I can, you know, get it together financially and whatnot. Absolutely.
Yeah, well,
and
I would encourage you, you know, you've got whatever going with that. But to not, as you do that, don't make any assumptions there either. You know, ask questions, reach out for support, explore the options, explore how it could happen.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, who knows? And so right now, I definitely didn't plan on saying that on the recorded call, but I heard your voice, and I just want to be honest now. You know, I'm so tired of sneaking around and hiding and that kind of thing.
I mean, that's it, yeah. Chris, because, of course, no one who is listening to you, I project, is having anything but just that we can each plug in our own content. I mean, truly, you know, we can all point to places where we got severely off track. And, you know, that place where on some level, you know, there's that thing that Sherry talks about where, especially I think in, you know, sort of deep in the tradition of practices like ours, there would be a sign over the entrance of a monastery that would say, if this is not life and death, don't enter. Because it truly is life and death, what we're doing.
Yeah.
It truly is. And so you being able to come on the call and to say what's going on with you, that's simply what you're practicing with. It doesn't mean anything about you.
Hmm. Yeah. And like I've heard said, you know, I wouldn't want to trade my whatever it is, karma issues or, you know, with anyone else. This is, who knows, you know, someone else is a, whatever. Everyone has their thing. And I've gone through this for decades now of dealing with this and, you know, and smoking.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
this is what's waking me up. So here I am. Yeah. And I feel like I have a lot of messes to clean up, and that's okay. You know, what else? That's okay. Because it feels really overwhelming sometimes with, like, at work and different places where I've just procrastinated, you know, just put things aside and just tomorrow. And today, you know, I've just been just sticking with it and recording and listening like crazy. And that is making a huge difference.
Oh, wow. That's huge. That is so huge. Yeah.
Just constantly.
I mean, Excellent. Good for you. Because the truth is, I mean, there's only this moment, right? So in this moment, we're going to clean up the mess that's in front of us in this moment. And then this moment, we're going to clean up the mess that's in front of us in this moment. And in this moment, right? It's just, there it is. We just practice with what's here now. And, you know, I mean, the gift of a place like you're describing can be that we cannot leave the moment. Because if we do, it's just way too much. There's just way too much there that's going to come at us. We've got to just stay right here.
You said it.
Which is where the recording and listening comes in, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And that's so funny because I feel like I've heard so many people make, like, big breakthroughs or, you know, really feel a change in practice when they truly committed to recording and listening. And there was just always so much resistance, of course, you know, just like, you know, how it goes. But it took what it took, and it's, you know, here I am. So I just am thrilled to hear your voice. I miss you guys, and I'm so excited for you to have so much fun up there. And working meditations, like, with Sangha is, like, one of the greatest things in the whole world.
It's just so, and there's so, I mean, everything about it, it's fun. It's training. If you hang out long enough, it's going to trigger every piece of karma you've got. I mean, it's good. And we were out there, you know, digging, really working hard, and then we all had guidance appointments. You know, I mean, it's just like,
perfect.
Oh my gosh. Right?
That's awesome.
So, Chris, just huge congratulations. I hope you've made, amazing recordings just saying what an incredible miracle it is. And it sounds like you have because you're saying how grateful you are to be here, to be alive, to have, you know, be practicing with all of it, to, you know, the humility of realizing it's big what we're up against. It's huge. And to realize we need that support. And here you are, you know, working with Sangha to get that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. And stay close. Chris, are you in the year-long retreat?
No, I just, I thought it was closed, and then I've been so broke and whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just going to write in and ask for some help.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Perfect. Yes. Again, not making any assumptions. Just you want to be on board, just write in, find out what's possible.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
I'll be listening for the rest of the call.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Gosh out. Bye-bye.
Gosh out.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And Jen, I just project extraordinary willingness and compassion and extraordinary people in this Sangha. It's fabulous.
And you know, Michael, that's it, right? Willingness is the key. I mean, we have a whole book named that, right? And, you know, we've got our keys that we wear. And that's it. Because, as Chris pointed out, you know, it's the T-shirt we used to have. It does not matter how slowly you go, as long as you do not stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it could seem like, it could look like, well, I stopped. Not really. Not if you're here now.
Yes.
And as Chris said, whatever it takes, it's all part of it. It's all part of it. We just stay here. We stay here. We stay here. And everything happens, and we just keep practicing right through it.
Yeah. Just keep showing up. Keep participating. And, incredible. And we have another caller, Jen.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen in Houston.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Well, what I'm seeing is my gratitude for this community, because I wouldn't practice without it.
Yeah.
I need the support.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's too hard without everyone around us doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Commitment Buddy program has been the best thing for me ever, because it keeps me on track.
Yes.
So I just want to express my gratitude for that. It keeps me on track. And
So happy to hear that, truly. And I will, a spoiler alert. We're going to hear about that on Good News today. So thank you for that, for prepping the field for us on that. Because it's open, I think, again, for the next quarter. So, yes, really, because as you say, without Sangha, we would not practice. And even with Sangha, how easy it is to get talked out of, you know, quote, little things, or, you know, even big things, like we were just talking about with Chris. And so having that extra support to really, you know, keep us on track is so helpful.
Well, one of my commitments is writing one page in a gratitude journal. And there was a quarter that I missed the deadline for signing up for the Commitment Buddy. And even though this was like one of my favorite commitments and it takes 5 minutes, I did it zero time. I went from like 100, like almost 100% to 0%.
Yeah. Wow,
I mean, that is how much I personally benefit.
That's extraordinary.
Having that commitment, having a buddy that is is my buddy on the path.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and one interesting place, I don't know when it was that you realized you had missed the deadline, but one interesting place to look there could be, next time that happens, like we were just talking about with Chris, communicate. Find out what's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't.
I missed the deadline.
Oh, that's so fun. It's so even funny that you're mentioning that, because it's like there is so much conditioning on tough luck. I mean, like, I heard that so many times growing up. Well, tough luck. And then it's like, for you to say, well, see what else is possible. It's like, what? Huh? What?
What do you mean?
It's so like, that's not on the menu. That's not on the menu of conditioning. Then the other thing I have to mention is, I don't know how I've heard about the retreat, but I don't know that I ever got, I don't really know anything about the retreat, or didn't really
see the Summer of Sangha?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it originally went out in the New Beginnings blog, which is every 4 or 5 weeks, Sherry writes about the property, their photos that go out, that kind of thing. And I think that's where the notification originally went out. And then, you know, just here and there, things have been references to it. But it's not on the website as sort of an official offering, so that may be why you didn't see it in that way. But essentially, it started June 15th, and it goes through August 15th, and people are welcome to come. It's really as simple as that.
Very cool. Very
beautiful.
Well, I'll look for it then, because I was like, oh, what is that? So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, again, write in and ask, because we can,
okay.
The guest master can certainly give you more information about, you know, people are generally finding their own accommodation and, There's a schedule of activities each day that happen on the property. Each week is slightly different depending on what's going on and who's here. But I will tell you, there are always deer here. I'm looking at one right now, hanging out in the wildflowers. So there's always something amazing happening on this property.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys. Really, I'm just still very grateful that I found this community.
Yeah. We are lucky indeed, aren't we? Yep. And thanks for calling in today.
Thank you. Gacho.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Jen, what dropped in during that conversation is something I've told my kids a couple times. Like, the number one skill in life is asking for help. And it just strikes me that that's what we're taught in this practice, to continually ask for guidance, ask for assistance, participate, reach out. Fabulous.
It really is, Michael. It really is, because that place, what was the phrase that Karen used? The not you made your bed, lie in it, but anyway, something similar to that. You know, that sort of sense of, well, you made the mistake, so now you got to deal with it. No.
Yeah.
All right, I wasn't here, or whatever happened. I forgot to change my shoes. Good. You know, now I am here, and I can ask for support. I can ask for assistance.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And Jen, it's time for our good news update. And I'm going to bring your guest on here. And I'll turn it over to you, Jen, for good news update.
Okay, thank you, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined by Steve, who, as I mentioned, is here to speak with us about keeping commitment buddies. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, Jen.
Hey, yay. Thanks for being with us.
I'm glad to be here.
So it was lovely having that corroboration of how helpful the program is from other callers.
That was a great segue. Thanks, Karen.
Exactly. And so what's your experience, Steve, of participating in the program?
You know, I've been doing it for quite a few years, I think, now. And my experience has been, I mean, nothing but positive. I mean, I guess when I think about it, first of all, it's a daily ping to feel a connection with Sangha, and that really is helpful for me. And, you know, my big commitment is just to really sit every day. And that's basically the commitment I have with my support buddy, is that I'm going to sit and practice every morning for 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's what's really interesting is, for me anyway, is how much awareness, opportunities for being aware of how conditioning wants to play a role in the whole process is.
How much it wants to play a whole role in that process of whether you keep the commitment, whether you don't keep the commitment.
Yes, and if I you know, I miss it, let's say I have a busy day or whatever, and I don't do it. So the urge to type a long message to my commitment support buddy, how busy I was and blah, 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 you can't handle the truth. And, you know, the wonderful thing is it's just a nice gacho whether I do my commitment or not. And
that's a really good point, Steve, that it's such a simple program, isn't it? It's not about, I mean, even as not even part of the program, in some ways, the guideline would be not to say why you kept your commitment or you didn't keep your commitment, right? It's just this simple.
Right.
You have whatever your commitment is, and you state that at the beginning of the quarter. Or for some people, the structure that they choose is that they have, you know, today my commitment is such and such, but, you know, whatever your commitment is, you state that. And then you simply report. You say, I kept my commitment or I didn't keep my commitment. And the answer, the response, no matter what, is gacho.
And what's
so
wonderful,
such a simple mirror, isn't it, against which to see all of what you're describing.
So what's wonderful about it is it's this, again, I don't know if balance is the right word, but there's unconditional support, and yet there is a reminder that I'm making a commitment not only to myself but to my commitment support buddy. And I guess the other thing is, and maybe this is kind of sad that I wouldn't make this commitment, or I mean I do make commitments and I keep them, but if I don't have a commitment support buddy, it is somehow easier to kind of let it slide. And
As Karen was just pointing at, and Chris was talking about it too, without the support, I mean, not to underestimate what we're up against. I mean, ego is on an absolutely full-time, 24/7 campaign to get us to fail, to get us to suffer. It will do anything it can. And so, okay, that's fine. You know, that's what it's going to do. So we know we need all the support we can get. So, you know, it doesn't really need to be a, gosh, that's sad that I wouldn't keep the commitment, as much as just a, that's just the way it works. Of course I need that support. And so what a kindness to give it to ourselves.
Yeah, you know, totally. Yeah, so when if I don't have a commitment buddy and I don't do it, then it's like ego will say, oh, well, no, but who's going to know, right?
Right.
Until half an hour later, it says, well, I know.
Exactly.
Right?
And you said you were going to do it, Steve, and what kind of a practitioner are you anyway? And,
exactly.
Yeah.
So even if I don't make it, and I get back a gash hole for my commitment support buddy, just a reminder that I'm being supported, and it's with, you know, kindness and compassion, and, you know, I'm on your side. It's just like my mentor, you know, just somebody on my side that wants me to succeed. So
yes, exactly. That there's just another person in Sangha on the other end of that text. And Gassho is such a, you know, the translation of Gassho that we use is my heart and your heart are one.
Yeah.
And so isn't it beautiful that you write back and you say, I kept my commitment today. And your commitment buddy is saying, my heart and your heart are one.
Yeah.
And you write back another day and you say, I didn't keep my commitment today. And they write back and say, my heart and your heart are one.
Yeah.
You know, what a beautiful illustration of it's not personal, and it's gonna go every way, and all of it's fine. We're just practicing. We're just noticing all of it.
Yeah. So I mean, there's obviously life is one big practice opportunity, but this is I found a pretty interesting one in terms of, you know, how ego responds to this whole process, and just an easier opportunity in many cases to see what's going on than maybe some of the more dramatic content that may or may not be happening in life. So
Yes, that's another great point, that to choose any commitment could literally be anything, that if you pay attention and you work to keep that commitment, you're going to see so much about the process that causes you to suffer, right? Because how we do anything is how we do everything. So it's something very, very simple, you get to see your whole life, essentially, in that.
Yeah. And I'll just say that hearing your last caller, Karen, talk about the journaling, I have had historically so much resistance to recording and listening, and it occurred to me while I was listening, I can make another commitment to just start by listening to my recording of things that I'm grateful for every morning. Just a very simple, low time, and I made a commitment, easy to keep, easy to forget too, but if it's noted and stated, then I'll have the support to do that. So anyway, it's really interesting.
That's great, Stephen. And actually, thank you for saying that, because I completely forgot and wanted to ask Karen that. Writing down the gratitude list, do you record those and listen back to them? Because that adds a whole other dimension, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the thing that you said of, this is something I want to do. I want to sit. I want to record and listen. And there's grand resistance to it. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's a perfect place to plug into this program. Have a commitment buddy. There's someone else on that's going to assist me with that. You know, there's something about having someone on the other end of that text that really assists us to, okay, I'm going to have to report. I either do it or I don't, which is fine, but I'm going to have to report to someone. And then that other piece of, if I forget to report, I'm going to get a simple text that says a text was not received. Gosh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Which is another great place for me to look. Oh, got it. Okay.
Right. Yeah, even that, a text was not received. I mean, in the early days, it was, you know, ego would just go right off the deep end. I'm so sorry, I forgot to report, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Now it's just a gasho, and then I say whether I report, you know, did the commitment or not, and sometimes I did the commitment but forgot to report. So, but it's just really interesting. Mm-hmm. Is that way of really being, taking it seriously and wanting to do it and not suffering around it. So learning how to do those two things at the same time has just been such a gift.
Oh, that's beautifully put, Steve. That really being serious about it, giving it everything you've got, but not indulging any self-hating conversation around it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's truly the way that we train, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can, yeah.
So if there's anybody on this show that is not already doing it, I'm shocked. I would highly encourage, I'm assuming everybody already is, but it's just such a wonderful process, and I'm really grateful that you have that structure in place. So,
yeah. Well, Steve, thank you for being with us today to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
All right. Take good care.
You too, Gasho.
Good night. Gasho. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Steve. And Steve, I am unable to mute you, so if you can mute yourself or call back in, that would be great.
Okay, we'll do.
And Jen, I think you two hit it on the head right there at the end, right? To go after whatever is here in the moment with 100% participation and not indulge any self-hate around it.
I mean, that's truly the fast track to waking up, you know?
Yes.
That's why we talk about, you know, when self-hate ends, practice can begin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fabulous. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, Jen and Michael. This is Paula in South Carolina.
Hey, Paula.
Hey. What a great call so far. I mean, the whole, my heart is just so open to, I don't know, everyone who's called in and just feeling like, wow, you know, how admirable to have the willingness to call in when things are going poorly. How admirable to call in no matter what's going on, you know, with happiness or not happiness. It's just like, what a gift. What a gift we are to each other.
Yeah, truly. To remind us that we're always practicing, period.
Yes.
I mean, we can really let go of, is it, quote, going well? Is it, quote, not going well? You know, am I, quote, you know, happy? Do I like this? Do I not like this? I mean, all of that can become irrelevant. We're simply practicing. And so to hear people, I mean, really, if you start to listen to the archives, right, over years and decades now, we can even go beyond years and talk about decades, you hear people talking about every possible situation in life and practicing through it.
Well, that is exactly what brought me to this practice, is I listen to the archives for at least every day on the way to work, and then I'm coming home from work. So I would listen, and it just, you know, it's just so amazing to have, that's the first first thing I noticed about how this is just a unique way of practicing, and it is so supported by the I don't know what I'm looking for. The kind of the way it's set up. I've experienced a lot of different teachers over the years, but boy, there's nothing that comes close to what this practice is, in my experience.
And do you have a sense, Paul, of how you would articulate that for you? What about it feels like it calls up?
Well,
it feels
unconditionally accepting. That's probably number one. That it doesn't matter who calls in. It doesn't matter what the issue is. It doesn't matter if they're singing or dancing a happy dance, or if somebody's really having a hard time. It doesn't matter. The way that each person is guided, it just that sense of you are worthy, and you are accepted. And that's the bottom line that I, as I see it, just that unconditional acceptance.
Yeah.
And unbelievable.
What I really hear, what I really hear when you say that, Paula, is there's no fixing anything, right? It's such a, I always feel like the greatest gift and legacy of this practice is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong.
Yeah. Exactly.
So no matter what someone brings to a call or to practice or where they are in any given moment, as you say, there's unconditional love and acceptance.
There is. And all I can say, you know, in my heart, and I'm always saying, oh, bravo, you know, you go. It's just,
yes, exactly.
It lifts me up no matter what's going on in my life. It lifts me up to have that sense of connection with people who are being so real, so honest, and so willing. You know, when it's you know, it's just like, wow, that's unique. It's beyond anything I've ever experienced as a group of people practicing together. So I'm sorry, but I just on my little wagon being you know, just I just can't be quiet when I'm just so grateful for all of this.
Well, and I'm imagining that those projections that you're talking about carry you through when whatever happens in your own life, in your own practice, right? So that same level of willingness that you project onto people, and that courage, and that, you know, the being willing to open their heart in those ways, that then that carries you through and gives you the willingness to practice with those things in your own life.
That's right. And it does, it keeps growing, you know. Initially, I didn't have that willingness. I was terrified. I tried to call. I remember maybe the first or second time I tried to call in, I was paralyzed. My voice wouldn't even come through. And I don't know. You know, I just was terrified. I don't know what I was afraid of, and it doesn't matter now, but it took me a long time just to feel comfortable, safe, and have that willingness to just start calling in rather than just listening to archives. But thank God they were there, because that's what got me to come into the practice in a big way. And
just brilliant about that, Paula, is that, of course, from what you're describing, that's completely all right. Right? It's all right that it took you time to put yourself in the queue. It's all right that you were terrified. It's all right that maybe the first however many times you speak out loud on a call, your voice is quavering. It's all right. I mean, right? I mean, that's the brilliant part of what you're talking about. All of that is completely fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a process. For sure it's a process. But, you know, it's like that willingness to stay with it. Just miraculous things happen. And so I just, you know, listening to folks, I just feel such a sense of embracing each other, not, you know, in metaphorically, but also truly in our hearts, that gosho, you know, your heart and my heart is one, all of that. Just so many things are coming together at this point for me and practice, and I just, you know, was looking today at gratitude. Another practice that I have was, you know, once a week, I pick one of the words from what universe are you creating, and that becomes one of the practices that I have for the week, included along with, for now, it's also the year-long retreat assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And So, you know, just having that prayer, as we say, if you only have one prayer, let it be thank you. And, you know, I've always felt a lot of gratitude in my life. And I've also relate to so many of the things that I've heard over the years that people have shared. And I just feel, you know, my life is very overflowing with abundance. And that's part of that abundance. It's not about money or place where you live or family or friends. It's really about embracing, you know, life with a capital L. And that's what this practice teaches.
Well, and I was just going to say, and it's not that hard things haven't happened. Right?
Not what,
I mean,
yeah.
So that I was going to say, it's not that hard things haven't happened.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So
that
gratitude, right? I mean, that gratitude is a process. That's what you're pointing at. It's not that, oh, everything's gone my way and I've had this, you know, amazing life. I've had an amazing life because of the process, because of learning to be present to the life that's here.
Right, right. And, you know, it made me think also about the years when I was first in my career and I worked a lot with the folks who had addictions you know, making a gratitude list was always part of the program. And this, however, there's the encouragement and the kindness and the compassion and, above all for me, the intelligence that goes along with it that makes it, again, so powerful. So powerful, not just, you know, I want to get off my bandwagon because I can hear myself preaching a little bit.
Well, just one last thing that occurred to me, as you were saying that, and everyone's been pointing at it during the show, the reason we need the support and we so take to the support is because, of course, we're all addicted. We're addicted to the conversation, conditioned mind. We're addicted to the ego.
Absolutely. That's really, really helpful. Really helpful to hear it. That added, you know, just that's really helpful. So, thank you.
Well, thank you, Paula. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks. Good to hear you. Thanks for being there.
Go happy.
You too. Kasho.
Kasho.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. And another fabulous conversation, Jen. A lot of gratitude I heard in that conversation.
A lot of gratitude. Yep.
And I have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Zota here from Lima.
Hi,
yeah, Zota.
How do you from you all. I have something that is kind of in line with stuff that the previous callers talk about, which is what is happening lately in my life, my interests, my exploration, conditioning tells me it's contrary to Sangha, and and so it really succeeds in making me feel alienated sometimes, even if I know it's a projection, you know. But it still feels that way.
Yeah. It still accomplishes what it feels like it's setting out to accomplish, which is to get you alienated from, get you separated from practice, because you've got these interests or these things that you do that feel, that you're told, are in contrary to Sangha.
Exactly. And if people only knew, you know. But the thing is that these things are making me happy. So it's not, and I'm pretty present doing when I pursue them. So I'm not mm-hmm. doing anything against my values or anybody's values. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe there is something hidden. Maybe I have secrets. Maybe I have secrets, hang-ups that I don't want to meet. But mainly it's just sex-related stuff. And I have, mm-hmm. and it's nothing like I'm not doing anything unethical or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I'm having experiences that are so interesting and eye-opening and of closeness to other people, or even bad experiences sometimes, but they are so interesting and so fulfilling and so enriching, and it's stuff that in my life have never had any importance before. So it's so strange to discover these things in my mid-40s, but somehow it keeps me so separated from practice, and this is a cause of suffering.
And you said it's stuff that has never had any, did you say, interest to you for you before in your life?
I was totally blocked or uninterested in sex for all my life. I never cared. I always thought I was unlovable, you know. So I always thought nobody would ever be interested in mm-hmm. me or my body, you know. And now I'm working on it. Not that I have it totally solved, but I'm learning to have my body feeling union with other bodies. And but I'm totally doing it in the most loving and compassionate way possible, and really paying attention and wanting to be present and to experience and blah blah blah, but still conditioning is telling me that this search, which is super important for me now and is giving me a lot of joy, is contrary to practice.
Well, it's just, I mean, again, there's so much in it, Asota, isn't there? You know, so, yeah, I mean, there are those topics, right? The title of one of Sherry's books, Sex and Money Are Dirty.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Right? So, you know, sex, money, health, kids, you know, especially, you know, and so there's all those things that are really, really, really real. And for so many people, there's this sense of like, okay, yeah, I mean, I can practice awareness with meditation and with maybe with my relationships with my family and maybe, but when it comes to like a scary health diagnosis or, you know, I'm going to lose my job or sex, I mean, I can't practice with those things. I mean, those are real. Those are big. Those have a huge impact on my life, right? So there's that layer of it. And then you take something like sexuality and that's got all kinds of taboos. I mean, we can't even talk about that in, you know, quote, regular life. At least in, you know, with the person on the street, you can talk about your financial woes and you can talk about your parenting issues, but you're not going to, for most people anyway, sexuality is off the table. So it's kind of double layered there, right? And then you add on to that, that for most people, you know, religion and sexuality don't go together. You can't have those two things together, right? They're in opposition. But what it sounds like you're describing is, well, first of all, you're calling into open air about it. So that right there says that you're willing to look at it from all these different layers, including the one that says, okay, I feel like I'm having a really good time exploring all this. I'm seeing a ton about it. But there's still this separation of I'm being told I can't practice awareness with this, and it keeps me separate from the rest of Sangha. So what you're doing is you're practicing with it, and you're calling into open air about it.
I'm calling now, but for months I wasn't calling in. So it really succeeded for a bit, you know. Or I was listening,
but
not
taking
myself
in the
queue. We can't
be surprised by that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of those where, you know, people will say, God, it took me like 3 months to catch on to this thing. And Sherry will say, I mean, that's like lightning speed compared to how long, right? I mean, this, the conditioning has been there for at least our entire lifetime, and we don't know from, you know, if there's anything to the, you know, thing cycling around, God knows how long it's been in there. So, yeah, you know, to have been talked out of for several months, not being able to talk about it, of course. And here you are now talking about it.
Exactly. And I think now maybe that's another level of the topic. So now that I broke the barrier, maybe I keep it for another time, not to take too much time. But the thing I'm really paying attention to is the concept of unchaste, you know, what is unchaste and what isn't, in terms of desiring and what makes me happy and what makes me unhappy and all this stuff, you know. But maybe that's a whole new topic, so maybe I save it for another time now that I talk about this. I don't know.
Well, I think it's not even either or, right? Because I agree with you. I mean, one of the things that's so amazing about something like that, so you're referring, I would guess, to the precept of not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct.
Exactly.
whatever that last word is of that precept. And so, all right, so there's that precept, okay? And practice is really important to you. You know, it's transformed your life. You're committed to it. You know, all those things. All right, great. So that potentially begins an amazing exploration where...
Yeah, it's the exploration I mean in these months. Exactly, exactly. Sorry for interrupting.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Were you saying something about it?
Yeah, that it's so easy to see a lot of typical Buddhist stuff like desire, not desire, when desire makes you unhappy, when it doesn't make you unhappy because you're just living the present, you know. Like I'm lost, for example, in noticing the difference between desiring something and just being present to something that is happening and stuff like that, you know. I find it so fascinating. And also when you suffer, which I do, what conditioning is telling me, and it's so immensely interesting.
It is, and that's it. So, to come at it with that attitude of mind, it's so incredibly interesting. You cannot go wrong. You just can't go wrong. Because you'll get to see more and more and more about it. You know, as you were talking, it occurs to me that that's why people want rules, right? That's why in so many, you know, people want to know, just tell me what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do, right? So then I won't do the wrong thing and I will do the right thing. And, of course, they end up suffering hideously with that because the voices, you know, torture them with it. But what you're describing and what is very, very much at the core of this practice is there aren't any rules, right? I mean, there's the one rule. We'll use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. And so here's something like sexuality. There's no rule around it, but there's a precept. So that's interesting. Why is there a precept? What is that? And so you're looking at unchaste. What is that? And so you just start this exploration. And there aren't going to be, you know, the answer, right? It might be different each day. It might be different in this moment than it is in this moment. It might be different for you than it is for somebody else. You know, you might see more and more about it. You know, I mean, it's just all a complete exploration. And all we're doing as practitioners of awareness is we're being willing to stay awake and here and open for all of it.
Oh, exactly. You know, it warms my heart to feel accepted, you know, because now conditioning cannot tell me anything because there is this call, you know. Whatever conditioning tells me, I can play this call, you know. So I know I belong and I'm accepted, but I was feeling so separated, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And I can promise you, Isota, that everyone has their thing that the voices are using to separate.
Yeah.
Because that's what it does. We were just talking about that actually recently in a group here at the 4 Acre Zen Center, that the only way it can get away with convincing us that there's something wrong with us is to separate us off from the herd, to get us off by ourselves, away from everybody else. Because otherwise it's going to be so obvious. We see each other, and everyone's been talking about it on the call today. We see everyone's goodness. We see how dear and sweet everyone is. We see how courageous everyone is. And if we realize that we're the same as everybody else, that's the mirror we're going to look in. We're going to see our own goodness. So ego has to stop us from that. So it has to use something, whatever it is, the thing that will be believable to us, to separate us off and convince us, no, but you're different because you've got this thing going on.
You know that now that you were describing it, I'm realizing it. It's using it to separate me from a bunch of other people, not only from Sangha. How dangerous, my God. Oof. I'm just noticing now that, ooh, there are a lot of people I cannot talk about my life because they it's terrible. Thank God I noticed it. Uh-huh.
And, you know, it occurs to me, Asota, too, that the recorder could be another fabulous tool with all of this, right? So there you are, whatever it is. You can't talk to Sangha. You can't call in about that. And so you put the recorder in the right hand and invite the right hand to tell you, why not? Why can't you? Well, because they're going to think this and blah, 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 and there's that, and there's ha-ha, and there's blah, blah, blah. Or that maybe there's an exploration one day of, you know, but there's that precept about unchaste conduct. Okay, well, tell me about what's going on. Tell me about your experiences. Tell me about the sexual experiences you're having. Are you feeling like they're unchaste? Tell me what that means to you. What are you seeing about that? Literally facilitating Asota through the experience.
You know that there is also something happening with the recording about it. Because I do record about it, but something is off. I will pay attention to that. Because I'm usually super. I don't usually have problems connecting to the mentor, but that's strange. This is so strange. But well, I will look into it and report back. For the first time, when I talk about it to the mentor, quote, I get bored, unquote. I will look for that.
Well, that seems like it tracks pretty, right? Because, okay, so you're really able to connect with the mentor. Often, you know, just really right there, talk to the mentor, tell whatever, mm-hmm. the mentor talks back to you, excellent. Well, no wonder. Here, if we hit one of these topics where you're not allowed to talk about it and it, you know, has all this big kind of, you're separated off from the, it makes complete sense that you'd be separated from the mentor in that too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so thankful. I have a lot of beautiful things, but also this feeling of belonging is so amazing. I'm really so thankful.
And you know, Asota, I just want to say, as we're ending, thank you for calling in to talk about it, because that's been another theme tonight of people talking about how valuable it is that as Sangha, we talk about everything, right? And so that's, each one of us has that piece of bringing forward whatever it is that we're practicing with in our lives. We bring that to all of Sangha, and we all benefit from that process. So thank you, and I hope that as you continue the exploration, you'll report back in.
I will, and I'm so thankful for the other people who call in and talk about their stuff for the reason that you described. Yeah, it helps so much to find the willingness to do it. Thank you so much to everyone, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Asota.
Gassho.
Good night. Gassho.
Thanks for joining us, Asota. And Jen, I was going exactly to the same place myself, that now I have all of these role models of people who have called in tonight, Sangha, who have called in tonight to talk about stuff that is incredibly difficult. And I'm so ashamed, you know, because the voices tell me how shameful or awful I am, and it's all my fault, and how could you ever talk about it? And Sangha says, no problem. You're one of us.
No
We're
problem.
All in the same boat.
Yep, bring it on. Because
bring it
that
on.
Process, like we were just talking about, that process of, you know, quote, you should be ashamed of this, and you can't talk about this, and that very thing is the only thing that's keeping the suffering in place.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's all an interesting exploration, like Asota was talking about.
Yeah. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Brings tears to my eyes. Yeah.
Mm.
So thank you, Jen. Thank you, everyone.
And thank you, Michael. All right.
My pleasure.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.